I want you to mark Acts chapter 3 because I'm kind of setting a thought here we're going to come back to because there's something God's put on my heart we got to get to. And Romans chapter 8, listen to this, because all of the things that we've heard, now it comes to a conclusion. You know, how that we're saved, been justified, and that now, that through the power of the Spirit, we can put to death the deeds of the body. We can be led by the Spirit. We can be spiritually minded, not controlled by the flesh. We still live in a body of flesh. We still live in a world cursed by sin. But he gives us encouragement about how we're going to overcome all of that. And he also tells us we have inside help, the Holy Spirit living in us. God's very presence, the presence of God living in us, right? The presence of God to empower us. He's always helping us in our weaknesses, interceding for us in our ignorance. Amen. And then he talks about the sovereignty of God over everything in the universe. Good, bad, you understand it, you don't understand it. God is in charge of everything. So we've come from that. Then he says in verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? What are you going to say about it? What's the answer? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect, God's chosen people? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Wow. This is powerful stuff. What are you going to say to all this? There's only one thing left to say. If God's on our side, if God is on our side, it doesn't matter who or what is on the other side. That's what he said. There's a reason why we should be overcomers. I mean, if I'm on God's side, that means God's on my side. That being the case, there's nothing that can successfully oppose you and God. And God could oppose you, but we're talking about you and God. God says you're forgiven. Who is there higher than God? He says you're forgiven. Who is there higher than God that can dispute that? He is the judge of all the final judge. There's nothing higher, no one higher than him. If he says the debt has been paid, if he says you're forgiven, I want to guarantee you there is no one higher than him that could successfully dispute that. You need to claim it. That's what he's saying here. He says who is he that who's going to bring a charge against God's chosen? If they want to bring charges against us, all God's going to say, paid in full if you're saved. Who's going to be able to condemn you? Satan's going to accuse you, but he can't condemn you if you're in Christ. Because it's Jesus who actually, God's just not just saying, okay, I'll forgive you. He paid the price. He gave his only son. Jesus is the very one who came down here and walked among us, took your sins to the cross, and suffered greatly for them in ways we can't even understand. He actually paid it. And not only that, he rose again. He's the judge. He's not just the judge, he's the one that paid. How does that not get you? He's the judge, but yet the judge came and paid the price to declare you not guilty. Not just pardoned and acquitted, all that's involved. But at the end, he took not only your sin, he took your guilt, and he's saying not guilty. That's what justified means. And we've got all this, and then not only that, he's going to supply everything that you need to be an overcomer. Because he says, if God didn't spare his own son, wow. But he gave him up freely. Didn't have to. Freely gave him up for all of us. Don't you think if he went to that much trouble to come and die a horrible death on a cross just to save your soul, that he's going to give you everything that you need to be victorious in him? Of course he is. He wants you to be an overcomer. And that's what we're talking about here. everything that you need to be victorious. At the end of the book, I keep throwing overcomer verses out. I hope you're getting them down. I've got a whole bunch more we could do. I don't know how we're going to handle it, but there's a bunch of them, especially in the book of Revelation. At the end of the book, he says in Revelation 21:7, he who overcomes, I want to be in that verse. Amen. I want that verse to be about me. How about you? He who overcomes shall inherit all things. We're heirs. Remember, we talked about that. I tell you, the Bible is so consistent from cover to cover when you read it right and understand it with the Spirit's guidance. It speaks in complete harmony, no contradictions. This is what Paul's been teaching us. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he'll be my son. Once again, son having to do with position, not gender. Right? You're like a firstborn. Amen. Amen. I love that. So everything that we need. So here's the biggest question that we are having to ask today. See, God, because of what Jesus did on the cross and my coming to him and repenting of my sin and putting my faith in him, has forgiven me. I am in Christ now. Be saved. We call it being saved. Saved from sin. Saved from hell. Saved, you know, saved. That's what it means. Saved from what? I'm telling you what. Saved from me. Huh? How about that one? Okay. He's changed my eternal destiny. But he wants to also change my life here. See, it's kind of silly to think he would want to change my eternal destiny without changing me here now. And that's what he's doing. Because some of you folks live a different life than some of the other ones of you folks. Some of y'all folks, us folks, came from different places than other folk came from. You know, what do I mean by that? Some of us had some advantages. Had some advantages, Teresa. The family I came from, the grandma, the grandpa, the great-grandma, the grandma, all the family around, the teaching, the love, the discipline, the provision. And so, thank God, I didn't have to go through what some of y'all have had to go through. And yes, I said y'all because I just like to say it. If I was somewhere else, I'd say use guys or something corny like that. And all y'all, actually, because that's plural. You'd think y'all was plural, but all y'all is even more plural. Right? So, now, some of you are going to be like a guy in a story that we're going to read because God's greatly changed your life dramatically recently. I've watched it. Some of you, he got a hold of your life. Thank God before you had to have so much change, but you still equally lost, right? Equally lost. But any of us can step out of bounds at any time. You still have a free will. You can rebel against God. So basically, here's what we're asking. How can I keep the change? Acts chapter 3, keep the change. Just keep the change today. Keep it, right? Yeah, so it's kind of hard to say this without that line coming up. Keep the change, you filthy animal. I just thought I got to get that out. Yeah. You know, it comes from, you know what movie it comes from. But I am a filthy animal, and he's changed me. I want to keep the change. There's how it ties in. Well, in this story, we're going to find a guy that was just wanting some change. And the change God gave him is some change that actually made sense. Get it? Change, sense. Right? Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Listen to this story. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, a normal day. Nothing exciting happening. Just a normal time. We always go to this place where they traditionally prayed in that day to do what we do. Kind of a normal, boring day. Maybe like you coming to church today. All right? Watch out. You never know. It says, went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain lame man, or a man lame, his legs were messed up from his mother's womb. Now, if you do your Bible study, you're going to find out as you read the context in chapter 4, verse 22, that he was over 40 years old. He's 40 years old and had never taken a step. From the time, I don't know whether it was an injury from birth or some type of spinal situation, malformation, whatever it was. I know his legs were deformed because it talks about his legs and his ankle bones receiving strength because probably they were atrophied. They didn't look right, you know, they're twisted, you know, however. But anyway, that's the guy. A man lame from his mother's womb was carried. No wheelchairs, no handicap vans. He was carried. Whom they, and we're never really told who they are, just somebody that helped take care of him, they laid daily at the gate of the temple. Remember, the temple's still standing in Jerusalem where the Jews worshiped. It's still standing. Day of Pentecost just happened. The temple is still there, and a lot of people are going there. So they laid him at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Kind of ironic that someone with such an ugly life is laid at the gate called Beautiful, isn't it? Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. So that's kind of their social security system of that day, or welfare, or disability. You know, there's really nothing. You know, fortunately, had somebody care about him to lay him at the gate, and he's got his little, you know, when I imagine his cup there, and people are going in, ask for some money. All right, wanting some change. He wanted some change, but the change he needed wasn't actually the change he was asking for. Don't get ahead of yourself here. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And Dr. Luke gives us some technical details here. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, now leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. Always been at the gate. Had he ever been in? I don't know. But today he's in. Entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And what happens next is it gives Peter an opportunity to preach the gospel to thousands of people. And if you go into chapter 4, you're going to find out 3,000 were saved at Pentecost. And we find out that the number after they heard this and believed was about 5,000. Couple thousand people get saved because of this. That's amazing to me. I love this story. It's one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. But listen, did you notice that it just happened on a normal day? On a normal day? I mean, Peter and John were, as I said, going to the temple to pray. Temple's still in Jerusalem. They prayed three times a day. Remember, Daniel prayed three. It kind of started, you know, maybe from that idea. But the ninth hour, that's like the afternoon prayer time that people, you know, you get loose, you come in and pray. That corresponds the way we keep time to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So they're doing what they do. And I'm doing what I do. I'm working. I got to get rid of my jacket. Amen? Got work to do. So they're going, and it's just kind of a normal day. You know, we go to prayer every day. It's easy to get in a rut, is it not? It's easy to get in a rut just going to church and doing what you do, isn't it? But the thing about it is their normal day helped prepare them for a miraculous day. You know, because you need to stick to that good routine. That's a good routine, going to gather for prayer. What if they had decided to just watch TV that day? That's, of course, just an illustration. What if they had decided to just do something else? You know? Somebody said, "I didn't know y'all were going to have an espresso maker and have real coffee drinks this morning. Why didn't you announce it?" I said, "We did announce it. Coffee and calories, 8:30. Right? We may not have that every time, but once in a while, you never know. You need a show. Hey. Hey, I like that. You never know. You need a show. Yeah. Because it's in the normal. See, we get easy lives. Sometimes we think in the mundane and the normal, we just, devil wants to lull us to sleep. But I want to tell you, it's during those times that you need to realize that there's a much bigger plan and greater purpose than what we can see or understand in the here and now. I borrowed that from last week in case you might have written it down. But, you know, we're talking about all things work together. There's a bigger plan. You see it here. There's a greater purpose than what you see, what you understand. So if I've got to see it and understand it all, I'm going to miss most all of it. I need to walk by faith. But because they had gone out, did you notice they went out together, Peter and John? That speaks to me too, because Jesus sent them out in teams, didn't he? He sent them out in pairs and in threes and things like that. You need a team. You need somebody with you. There is no such thing in the Bible as a Lone Ranger Christian. I'm running to people and say, well, I don't need a church. I don't need anybody. Well, you're pretty special because everybody in the Bible did. Yeah. And since we're part of a body, that means we're connected to one another. I don't know how you sever yourself and survive. You don't. The devil's deceived you. You need. And you got all kinds of people that's hurt your feelings. And you're probably not here today, whoever I'm talking to. But maybe you are. I don't know. So you got all kinds of people that's hurt your feelings. You got all kinds of preachers that are terrible. And all kinds of church experiences that are bad. And you can use those two excuses. And the devil is just going to clap. And he's just going to smile. And he's going to say, attaboy, attaboy. Or attagirl. However the case may be. Because he's got you to isolate yourself so he can dominate your attitude in your life. See? That's a trick. I'm telling you. Besides, you know what they say? If you ever find a perfect church, you better stay away from it. You'll ruin it. Amen? Because none of us are perfect. And after all, it's not my problems that bother me. It's yours. So anyway, they were together. You need to have that. There's something about doing life together. We not just study the Bible together. We not just pray together. We live and do life together. Overcome together. Struggle together. Cry together. Laugh together. This is what God wants. So they're together. And they noticed the need. It all starts with the need. They noticed the man and noticed the need. Kind of hard not to notice. I mean, the need when you notice the man, but you know, he'd been the type of guy to be easy to ignore because I'm sure there were a lot of people like that. We're not told, but there could have been others, but it's easy to just walk right on by. But they you see, it's kind of hard to address a change until it's been noticed. That's part of my problem. I need to notice some things that need change that I don't realize that can change. Amen? Stay with me now. What would Acts 3 and Acts 4 be like if Peter and John had not engaged this guy? Because there's going to be a gospel sermon preached and there's going to be thousands saved. What would have happened had they just ignored this guy? See, the whole point isn't in this story about him walking. The whole point isn't just about him being healed. That's not the point. What about the 2,000 souls that were headed to hell? That's what the point is about. See, but oftentimes Jesus worked a miracle. He healed someone. He fed someone. He asked us to be his hands and feet and minister to the needs, physical needs of people. But the reason why we do it, we want to meet needs. But what we hope to do is to help people to know that more than they need food, more than they need clothing, more than they need medical care, and more than they need shelter, they need salvation and a relationship with God. But sometimes we start where they are, but that's always the purpose. We're doing a lot of things around here, but it's not just to look good. It's not just to try to do nice things. It's all about the kingdom of God, I'm telling you. It's easy to sit in the church and just say, well, those people got it coming, and sit here and let everybody else just go to hell. But not us. We're safe. And then Jesus comes along and says, if you've not done this to the least of these, you've let me down. I can't get past that, y'all. Anyway, I didn't want you to miss that the point isn't just the guy walking. The point is the gospel. It always is. So there he is, and he's by the gate, you know, thinking that maybe people who have a deep love for God coming to worship and pray, they'll give him some money. And then there's people who like to put on a show, like, you know, look here, I'm doing a good deed, right? And you know, the money spent all the same to him, right? You know, he didn't care whether they wanted to give to him to look like they were really generous or something, or whether they were sincere. You know, I can't judge you. I don't know whether you're real or whether you're fake. How could I know? I better pay attention to me, because sometimes I have trouble with myself, right? So quit judging others and look at my own heart. That's what God keeps telling me. So anyway, this kind of thing happened there. And so they're going along. And it seems like life's been unfair to this guy. It seems like life has been really unfair. I mean, he's born lame, 40 years he's lived all of his life, and he's never been, he'd be carried everywhere. I mean, I don't know who had to provide for him, but it was a horrible thing. Seems like one of those bad things, like why would God let this unfair thing, why would God let this guy be born like that? We don't know what good is. I got to tell you something, an old story that I heard. There's an African folk tale about a king and his friend, and they grew up together, and this guy became prince, and he was prince, and he became king, and they did everything together. The king's friend had a saying, though, and everything that happened, he'd say, well, that is good. That is good. It's irritating when you say that. One day they were out hunting together, and he loaded the king's musket, which, you know, was a flintlock muzzle loader, by the way, you know, and it has the little flash pan and flint, and anyway, it exploded out the back, and it blew his thumb completely off. It was terrible. It was tragic. He's screaming. He's hollering. And he says, look, what do we do? He goes, well, that is good. And the king went ballistic. He had him hauled in and thrown in prison because it was his fault. And he said it was good. A prisoner now. He spends a year in prison and a whole year in prison. And the king's out hunting by himself one day, a year later, and he gets captured by a tribe of cannibals. And the tribe of cannibals haul him in and tie him to a stake and put wood around him. They're about to burn him alive. And they look at him, and all of a sudden they notice that he's missing a thumb. Well, they had a tribal tradition that they couldn't eat anybody that wasn't completely whole. And they sacrifice them and eat them. They couldn't do it if they weren't completely whole. And so they let him go, and he walked off, and then he realized that, oh, my goodness, you know, I guess he was right. And he's been in prison for a year, and he felt bad, and he called him out of prison, and he said, I am so sorry. He says, what you said, I didn't understand it was right because you caused me to blow my thumb off. It spared my life. And so, but it was not good that I put you in jail for a year. And then he said, no, that's good too. What do you mean that's good? You spent a year in jail. He goes, well, if I hadn't been in jail, I'd have been with you. I'd have been hunting with you. And I got both my thumbs. Right? You never know what's good. So it looks like it's not good, but see, with God, things change. But here's the deal. The guy wanted some spare change, but God wanted to give him some change that was life change. He was actually not expecting the kind of change he could receive. So don't settle for change that is far smaller than the change God wants to give you. He was about to settle for some change that was much smaller than what God wanted to give him because he had never walked. He never knew it was possible. He didn't miss walking because he had never walked. He was used to life the way it was. And Satan wants you to just be used to and okay with life the way it is, whether you think it's fair or not. Not expecting how God can change things. He's just hoping for a couple of coins. Well, see, if he had gotten a couple of coins, he would have had to spend them, right? Right? Then he wouldn't have been able to keep the change. Huh? He'd have spent it. God wants to give you some change you can keep. Yeah. This is a great story. I love it. I love it. I always love this story. So guess what? Now, he is healed, and now he's standing, he's leaping, he's praising God. He's not just walking, he's leaping. See, when God does something, he does it right. You know, it's not like, well, I can get up and barely move. No, he is walking and leaping. But guess what else now? He was needing money. Now, that was the original need, but God fixed a need that was greater than he ever imagined. But now it fixes the other need because now, guess what he can do? He can walk. And now he can go and get himself a job, and he can work, and he can support himself and keep the change. Keep change coming. Right? See how God just fixed that. You never have to sit with a cup again because now you can get busy. See, what if this guy had been, how ridiculous would it have been for God to have healed his legs and him to be just squatted down out there with a cup, thinking this is an easy way to make a living. I think people would have beat the snot out of him. You know what I'm saying? And they should have. But now he can support himself. We don't get a lot more out of this story, except this guy was willing to take a stand because they brought him to the temple. They left him there, but they, whoever they were, could only take him that far. There's some people that can only take you so far. He'd never been in as far as we know. Peter and John come along and God heals him. And now he sticks with them and they get arrested later on. And then when they're hauled in front of the Sanhedrin and the high priest, these are the same people that, you know, a little over a month and a half earlier had masterminded the murder of Jesus, the crucifixion. and wanted to kill his disciples as well. And it took them a little while to remember, these are the guys that were with him. These are the guys. They didn't go away. But anyway, when they're arrested and standing before the high priest, if you look in chapter 4, this guy is standing with them. And they're all not happy about it, but it's kind of hard to argue because there he was standing with them. Huh? Wow. Yeah, this is powerful. So, there's a difference in this passage between what he asked for and what he really needed. I need God to help me to realize what I really need deep down inside and give me some change I can keep. Sometimes the only way to get to where we receive what we need may be for God not to give us what we're asking for, what we want. This guy could have got mad when he said, nope, we ain't got any money to give you. Nope. He could have got mad. Dude, we're not giving you any money. He could have got mad. But you know what? Before we get to our destiny, there's got to be opportunity for disappointment along the way, because what we think we need isn't always what God knows we need, and he has to reveal that to us. As I said, more important than this guy just getting healed, thousands of souls coming to Christ. All right, so there's the need. Now the action. Peter, it says, took him by his right hand. And the lameness had had authority over him all of his life. Now listen, Peter could have pulled on his arm till it came out of socket. But I want to tell you, when he pulled him, he was going to give him some assistance. God says, I'm going to give you some assistance. We need some people that are going to help lift us up instead of keep pushing us down. You need to find those people. But he could have pulled and pulled. But if the guy, no, I can't do that. No, he didn't. All of a sudden, he started to get up. He'd never been able to get up, but as he started to get up, it sounds like Luke tells us that all of a sudden his bones changed. It sounds like his ankle bones received strength. It sounds like if you were there watching, you would have seen a visible change happen in the guy's legs, and all of a sudden now they look like normal legs, and he got up, and he stood, and he jumped. Everybody jumped. No, he you could not contain this guy. And it all happened on a normal routine day. Just going to the, are you with me? Just going to the temple to pray. It's like I said, if you're getting to the place that just getting together with God's people and doing the normal routine thing is just too boring of a rhythm for your life, you're going to miss something. But if you stick with it, even when it seems that way, you're putting yourself in place for a miraculous moment. There's always more going on than you know. You might have read the Bible every day for 3 months. You're doing a Bible reading plan. And I don't always do the plans on YouVersion, but I'm doing one this year. And different ones of you were friends on there. If we want to, we can see, you know, man, I get up in the morning, like, I don't feel like reading the Bible today, but I open my app and I see, you know, Pam, you've already highlighted like 20 verses, you know, and Jenny and Carrie and different others of you. I already see what, man, I better get with it, man. I'm supposed to be like leading. I got getting the word, man. Yeah, yeah. So I go through and highlight a whole bunch of verses so it looks like, no. I'm kidding. But, but I like doing that because we can kind of encourage, you know, it's encouraging to me. And it's a blessing to me. And if I happen, I don't always look through, like, the homepage there and see, you know, all that. But when I do, I want to pray, God bless them. It's just, we're in this, we're doing life together. But anyway, I'm sorry, I got back on track here. You might have been reading the Bible every day for months and months and months. And it's just kind of like getting boring. Hey, it's been a little bit that way for me. I mean, because I have like this Bible reading time that's different than my sermon preparation and other time and studying different things. But just, I'm saying when I first get up to read, the first thing I'm going to do is get in the Word and pray. I'm not reading anybody else's stuff. I'm getting in the Word and praying, okay? And as I'm getting in there, I kind of got a tough time because I'm doing the read through the Bible again. And I just come all the way through Leviticus, Numbers, and now in Deuteronomy. And let me tell you, there's one moment of praise come out of that, though. I mean, one day. It's just like, oh boy, more of this stuff and all those requirements. And all of a sudden it hit me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus fulfilled all the law. This is ridiculous. This is impossible. Man. And we don't even have ashes from a red heifer to put in our water to sprinkle on stuff. You know, it's crazy. Crazy. But here's what I'm saying. You may read 30 days. You may read 3 months. And it just kind of be normal for that moment when all of a sudden, wham, God hits you with something that knocks you off your normal path and just does something miraculous. See, but here's what am I trying to say up here? That's what you're wondering. I'm trying to say that if you don't stick with the good normal routine, you're never going to be prepared for something incredible like happened in this story. So if you're bored, stay at it. Don't fall asleep, because it's thin. It's during the normal routine. For God to interrupt the rules, there has to be a rule, right? Huh? For there to be such thing as good, there has to be some bad. If we didn't have any bad days, how would we know if we were having a good day? See? But you got to get in there. And so this guy receives some change. He stood up. He's leaping. He's walking. He's praising God. And he wanted to keep the change. In verse 11, it says he held on to Peter and John. I want to roll with you guys now. There's strength in unity. And he had a new crew, right? Some of you need a new crew. The old crew's don't do thing, but it holds you down. And they take the old crew, as I said, take him as far as he could go. You might need some new people in your life, and you might need to get away for some old people. All right, I'm just saying that that is part of this story. Now, the last thing is the response. Not only did he stand up, but he was walking and leaping and praising God. Everybody else thought, this guy's going crazy. This guy's weird. You know, what's wrong with him? Not anybody else was doing that. Got to give you the strength, but you're the one that's got to get up. When he lifted him up, God's there. Your legs aren't going to heal any other way, but he got up. He had to get up, all right? But then he's leaping and praising God. Your experience of God's grace in your life becomes visible in your walk and in your praise. This guy had experienced something amazing. I mean, I guarantee you, if you had been lamed and your legs deformed for 40 years and all of a sudden in one moment they were straightened out and you were able to stand, that we wouldn't be able to hold you down. I don't care what your personality's like. We wouldn't be able to hold you down or keep you quiet. And nobody could hold this guy down or keep him quiet, because they didn't know. They knew he'd been lame, but they didn't know what it felt like to have God do what God did in his life. And he didn't care who knew it. He didn't care who heard. He didn't care who he made mad. He didn't care who he embarrassed. Because it's praise to God. Boy, David come in one time and he was so praising God, and he embarrassed some people. The way he was twirling around, and even, oh, don't say this in a Baptist church, but it says he was basically dancing before the Lord. It wasn't the two-step or nothing like that, or the whatever. But I mean, it was like a little kid, happy and excited, you know, and they do a little happy dance, and he was praising God. I'm not saying you need to do that here at church, but anyway, I'm just saying with David, it happened one day, and he was praising God, a man after God's own heart, and there was somebody just wanted to kill him over it. See? Just despised him. And the bad part is he was married to her. And you think you got... Never mind. So, this is the deal. He had been a recipient of grace. God had done something he hadn't even knew he could ask for. He asked for spare change. God gave him life change. Now his eyes are open to what he couldn't see before. His greatest need. Now his legs are doing what they couldn't do before. And guess what? His mouth is doing what it didn't do before. He is changed. He is praising God. You don't have to wonder if something's happened into his life. And he doesn't care what people think. Now, not everybody's excited about this. In fact, before this is over, the high priest, they come and they arrest Peter and John. And the guy standing with them, so I take it in the context, they arrested him too. We can't have God healing people and them being excited at our church, at the temple. And they didn't like it. And now he had preached the gospel and a lot of people had been saved, and that's what they really didn't like. And so they're arrested in chapter 4. And these are the same people that had arrested Jesus. So they're not happy. And listen, there are going to be other people around you that are not happy. You know, if the change and the praise and the thanksgiving is not visible in your life, though, the reason there's a lot of us, nothing in our life to show people that anything's ever changed, anything's ever happened. But I want to tell you that sometimes you're going to be around people that aren't going to be happy. People are going to judge you. They're going to be people that are going to try to knock you down. And then there's your old friends that they're not going to be happy with you. You know, back when you was lame, we kind of control you. But now you're doing stuff and you're praising God and you're making us look bad. We'd rather pull you back down. Listen, your old friends that you used to run with, all of a sudden they're going to start getting on you, right? All of a sudden some of your old family members are going to start trying to pull you down. And they're going to tell you, you know what, you're no fun anymore. You know what, you're no good anymore to us. You've changed. And you're going to say, that's the point. And I'm going to keep the change. Amen? Amen? Okay, let's wrap this up. Because now, you know what? He's leaping and praising God, and he's going through the temple. People know God has done something. See, and there's some of you don't understand even. Can I pick on some of you folk up here? Why is it that you just can't stay off your feet? Why is it you're so excited? What you may not know is, praise God, and you ought to stand up and praise God for this, is that you didn't make the mistakes and go through some of the things that some of these people did. You remember the lady that came in Mark chapter 7 and was just wouldn't quit crying and washing Jesus' feet and with her tears and drying it off with her hair and everything. And the Pharisees, they were disgusted by it. But Jesus said, you know, to those who are forgiven much, they love much. You know, and I want to stand and praise God that I didn't go through what some of you have gone through. But if there's some of us that had experienced the change and the forgiveness and the freedom and the deliverance that some of you have experienced in the last months of their life, they would be standing too. But praise God, you didn't have to because you never went there. So there's something to praise God about. Amen? Amen? Just don't let us wear you down to where you just don't feel anything anymore. Amen? Amen. And see, it's really hypocritical because I do go to ball games and I do go to different events and I do see people get excited and I do see people get passionate, but there's nothing wrong with being passionate about God. So we don't need to judge each other on the basis of that, okay? And so I want to have freedom. I want to have freedom. If I need to sit quietly and humbly pray, then I got the freedom to do that. You're not minding my business. If I feel like I need to raise my hands, which is biblical, I'm going to do it. And if you judge me, then you're not worshiping. And if I worry about whether you're doing it or not, I'm not worshiping. You see? But that's the thing. There's got to be freedom to worship God, to express yourself before God. And what about when God's people come together? He's expecting us to praise him. And you say, well, God knows that I love him. He'd like to hear it out of your lips. It's just like the guy who says, I never tell my wife I love her, but I'm still here, ain't I? Well, you may be there, but I guarantee you she'd like to hear it. All right. Well, God knows I'm here, aren't I? He'd like to hear it. Okay. So Jesus even is the one who said that if they don't praise you. Remember, there was a group of people praising him one day coming in. And some of them said, you need to tell them to be quiet. That's out of line. You know what he said? If they stop, the rocks are going to cry out. I don't want rocks to have to do what a child of God ought to do. Amen. And so I just want to tell you, this guy was excited, and that's why, because of the change that had happened in his life, and not everybody, you know, I didn't see Peter and John, they weren't dancing and jumping and leaping around, you know, because they had already experienced these things, but they're still praising God and they're still sharing the gospel. What I'm saying is I pray we come through some breakthrough moments in our life, so whether God has done a miraculous thing and you need to jump and shout and praise him, or whether you're just sticking in there and it's a routine day and you're just kind of like kind of bored and everything, but you're staying faithful, stay in there because you never know when big moments are going to come. It doesn't matter whether you're here or here, whether you're on a mountain or whether you're in a valley or whether you're in between. You know, some of it in between's where we have, I didn't mean to get off on that, but in between's where we have the problem over here, you guys, the in between. Are y'all paying attention? Is it like time to go? Yeah, okay, well, that's all right. No, it's because, you know, here's the thing, is that on the mountains, we're celebrating. In the valleys, oh, I need prayer, but it's in between. It's where we just like nothing. And that's where, I'm tying this back in with Romans 8, where we start walking in the flesh. We start going on autopilot. Autopilot is the flesh. And we start doing things out of our own wisdom and our own strength. Well, see, the thing about it is this, as I said, gave Peter a chance to preach the gospel. Thousands of people changed their eternal destiny that day. Because of one man's change that he could keep, thousands got change that was even greater than that. Did you know God wants to take the change that he wants to work in your life? Listen, you might say, well, hey, I never got out and did drugs. I never run around. I mean, God got a hold of me when I was a teenager. Mom said he knew he had to, or I would have done who knows what. I didn't really want to. I didn't want to go out and drink with the guys because I thought I was cooler than that and didn't have to have that. Now, chasing girls was a whole different deal. I got to college. I was trying to serve God, and one caught me and ain't let me loose. I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't have to go out and build a testimony. My testimony is praise God, I wasn't born lame. You know, all the people in there that had always walked all their life, you know, they may not be leaping and jumping and dancing around, but they just, you know, thank you, God. But there's something even more serious. We're talking about the souls of people. And the change that I never went through a lot of that stuff, but there's change that has happened here that you can't imagine. There's change that is still needing to happen here that's off the charts. Change me, oh God. Can you pray that? I may not be a cripple laid at the gate, or I might be, so to speak. One touch from the Master in Jesus' name. It can only happen through Him. He's reaching out to take your hand. Will you get up and let Him change you? Will you accept the change that He'll give you, something that not only you can keep, but it's going to impact others? Had that event not happened that day in the temple, the crowds wouldn't have come wandering in with amazement. If that guy hadn't laid there since he was a kid, and people had seen him day after horrible day after long day for 40 years of his life, and they'd seen it, they might have said, oh, that's not that guy. No, they all saw that guy when they came in. They knew. God let that go on for all of his life. Nathan, seems kind of tough for that guy. But it's not tough when you see 2,000 people that are going to go to heaven instead of hell because of him being used by God. What about you? You may think, I'm a nobody. You couldn't get low on the social ladder than what that guy was. Late at the gate. Now, you may feel like nobody notices you, nobody knows you, nobody cares about you, but I'm telling you, when God begins to not only change your destiny, but change your life, you're just the kind of person that He wants to use to change a lot of other lives. I want to just keep the change. How about you? Father, help us right now.